Wow, praise God. Woo. Has this not been a powerful service this morning already? Feel like we could just go home right now? Please don't. Please don't. You know, one of the things that we just love to do and love to celebrate is testimonies. How many love testimonies? What? How many love testimonies this morning? All right. Okay. I think we're going to need a microphone up here, but you know, okay, how many of you know Aunt Betty? And so many of you pray for her consistently, like every Wednesday and evenings and all. So, and she has shared how much that has changed her ministry and her life. But she just called me the other day. She was headed to Missouri, I think, and she called me as soon as she got to her hotel and said, "Oh, there's some things I just have to share with you." And I said, "Oh, go ahead, let's go for it." And I was so blessed. I want all of you to hear what she shared with me just the other night. So, Aunt Betty, come on up here.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. Blessings, blessings. Oh, I'm so excited this morning. Isn't the power of the Lord so beautifully manifest this morning? I just am so grateful. Some of you wonder why I'm dressed patriotically today. Do you wonder that? Well, it's because last week I had the most patriotic week of my life. When we come to the Lord Jesus and commit our lives to Him, we never know what relationships He has for us. And He has given me a relationship with a young man that is politically very powerful, that lives in Kansas City. He is the chairman of the Republican Party in Missouri. And in all of the events, a lot of the events, he invites me to and pays my way for me to come back there and share in that. So, yeah. Isn't that sweet?
That's sweet.
Anyway, I want to share the one that happened last week. He was at the Republican National Convention. He was a delegate, voting delegate. And I came in the day that he came back from the convention with the enthusiasm and power and blessing that all went on in the Republican convention. But before, when I got to the airport in Boise, I had hurt my foot. I dropped a piece of metal on my foot, so I had a wheelchair and I was hobbling. And but I was a little early and I needed some water, so I put my wheelchair in front of me and my bag in it and went to get me some water. Well, you know, I parked my wheelchair in front of the water, of course, and then stood beside it myself. And this gentleman behind me, a young gentleman, said, "Excuse me, ma'am." And I turned around, and this young black man was wanting water, and I said, "Oh, excuse me." So he got his water and went, and I got my water, put it in my wheelchair, and went to the checker. And when I got there, the checker said, "Your water has been paid for." And I said, "Oh, no. Yeah, it has." And I didn't see anybody that could pay for my water. And just that time, this young black gentleman came up, and he had forgot his phone by the cash register, so he grabbed it. And I said, "Did you pay for my water?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." And I said, "Oh, thank you so much. That's a beautiful thing." And so I turned around, and we walked out together. And he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Ma'am, I just wanted to do something good this morning for a good person." And he said, "I sense something very good about you, and I wanted to do that for you." And I said, "Oh, bless you. And so he went away, and I went and sat down at my gate. And when I boarded the plane, I was in this, by this, the window, and the lady on this side, empty chair in the middle. And here comes this beautiful young black man come down the aisle, and I had introduced myself as Betty Adams. And he said, "Miss Betty, may I? And I said, "Sure." So he sat, and we just had this wonderful connection. And he was from Topeka, Kansas, from the city council, had been sent to Boise to investigate the growth, the burst of growth that Boise has had and how they handled it, good and bad. And he said, I'm the representative from Topeka, Kansas, to find out, because we're experiencing the same thing. We're trying to learn from Boise. And I said, well, I hope that's good. So we flew together and had the most beautiful visit. And all of a sudden, thanks to VSSM and what the Holy Spirit taught me, I had just completed the first year in May. And I'll tell you, it's still very real and strong in my heart and my mind. But I wasn't expecting any supernatural charges talking to this young man. But all of a sudden, the Lord just hit me. And his name was Marcus. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, Marcus, I have a word from the Lord for you. And he says, you do? And I said, yes. I said, you want to hear it? He said, yes, please. I said, you are specially gifted. I said, your gifts aren't just average. They aren't just normal. They are strong gifts from God Almighty that he has placed upon you. Just you. And you're the only one that can fulfill these. And I said, you have a high calling of God on your life. And I said, I don't know what it is, but I said, God knows. And I said, you keep your heart open and you'll find out. So we flew to Vegas, and then I didn't even know if he was going to get on the same plane again. Same thing happened. I had an empty seat on the next flight. Miss Betty, may I? Yes. So, and he was really sleepy, so he put his headphones on, and he was, and I thought, I have to do this. And I tapped and shook his shoulder, and I said, Marcus. And he pulled his headphones off, and he said, yes. I said, do you have any idea what the high calling of the Lord Jesus is on your life? And he just was sober as a judge. He says, no, ma'am, I don't. I said, would you like to find out? He said, yes, I would. I said, well, let's pretend when you want to know, you have a zipper in your heart. And you start right here and you unzip that. And you open both sides of to the Lord and say, precious Holy Spirit, I need you to come into my heart and my life. And I need you. I said, you know, when Jesus had to go, he said, I have to go so you can have the Holy Spirit. And I said, he says he will lead you into all truth, and he will empower you and give you power to do whatever he leads you into. And he said, really? And I said, yes. And so I said, we just open your heart, and then you ask him to fill you with the power and to lead you and guide you into that high calling that he has for you. He said, I will. So, amen. The Holy Spirit. And I knew that, I mean, I didn't have a choice. I had to wake him up because the Lord said. And so, and I got a text from him just the other day. And he said how he thanked God that we had that encounter and that he was able to share that time with the Lord and with me. Anyway, all praise and glory to God. Amen. And I want to say one other thing. My ministry has been so empowered by the Holy Spirit's touch on my heart and my life in VSSM. It, just like Jonah said a while ago, it empowers you and gives you direction. So a lot of times I wanted to say something, but I didn't even know what to say trying to help people. But now, boom, it's there, and you just say it, and it's a Holy Spirit. Anyway, I praise the Lord, and I want to encourage you. If you haven't signed up for VSSM, please do. Love you. Did I forget anything?
Well, you told me that on one of the flights, the lady sitting on the other side was absolutely blessed, and that she.
That's true. A beautiful young black lady on the other side of me. We shared the Lord, and she said, I am, she touched me, she shook my shoulder this time. She said, I am so thankful that God put us on this flight together because I've received such spiritual insight and blessing. And it's nothing for me. I'm not claiming any glory. I just am so thankful that the Lord takes the little bit within us and he multiplies the loaves and the fishes, and he spreads it everywhere. And so you don't need to think, well, I'm not important, I don't have much to give. Oh, yes, you do. You have him. Woo! Amen. Praise the Lord.
One more.
What?
Maybe she could at least stand up.
I'm going to have her stand up. Just give me a second.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I've had the biggest blessing this week you could ever imagine. Y'all remember when I shared about the prison ministry and the baptism where we baptized 98 girls? Okay. I was in a thrift store the other day. I know it surprises you I go to those thrift stores, but I do. And I was walking down the aisle, and I heard somebody say, "Miss Betty." And I turned around, and would you stand up, Benita? This is the beautiful, beautiful girl. Amen. Thank you, baby. Thank you, thank you. And she came to me with her arms out and tears in her eyes, and we embraced and hugged. And she says, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "Well, honey, your face looks really familiar, but I can't pull out your name." And she said, "Well, you baptized me 3 weeks ago." And this is my precious, precious friend. And I'm so happy. She's moved to Caldwell, and we're together. And you guys have prayed for her in our special prayer meetings. They prayed for the girls. And here she is serving the Lord and in our midst. In our blessed service this morning, Benita, bless you, baby. Thank you. And so.
And the part that I thought was so funny, and she confirmed it this morning, is like, and I noticed her by the back of that bright red head is how I saw her two aisles away.
Yeah, she did. And she says, "I didn't even see your face." And I thought, All right, you can take this. I don't need it.
Okay. Well, let's just, yeah. Can we give another round of appreciation and applause for Aunt Betty? Didn't realize she was going to preach. She took some of my scripture. I think she was looking at my notes right here when she was up here talking about it. It's like, wow. That's good stuff, isn't it? And we appreciate the testimonies. You know, when we meet together as pastors meeting, and then when we have an all-staff meeting, that's the first thing that we do when we come together is we have praise reports and testimony time. So we just share the goodness of God with each other so we can celebrate the good stuff that we've experienced, because you know there's going to be troubles and heartaches and just junk that comes our way, but because we want our focus to be on the goodness of God and what he does for us, that's the first thing that we do. And I think when, for any and all of us, when we get out of bed first thing in the morning, if the thoughts that we had were about the goodness of God and the blessings that we have in our lives, and we would just start our days by giving him thanks for all that he's done in our lives, then our focus would be on something besides just our troubles and our economy and all of the difficult things that are taking place in our world. But God is good, isn't he? Let's just say that together. God is good. Once more. All the time. You know, man, I haven't been up here for 5 weeks. It's the first time in 13 years that I've gone more than 3 weeks, I think, without being up here. So, and the congregation has grown in those 5 weeks. It's great to see every one of you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. See, I want to... I want to ask a question. This is what I want to do. You know, it was about 13 years ago, in the early fall, 13 years ago, Renee and I were teaching a class in the prayer room, When Heaven Invades Earth. Bill Johnson's When Heaven Invades Earth. And I remember as we were getting started, asking a question of everybody. It's like, Well, you know, when you think of Wednesday night, used to be the Wednesday night crowd was definitely the hard working, what would that word be? The saints. If you're going to show up not just on Sunday morning, but Wednesday night, that's the saints of the church, right? Yeah? Right? Then more of you should be there on Wednesday night. So a Wednesday night class, I believe it was a great size class back then, 44 people. I remember 44 people, and I remember presenting the question, which I'll present to you right now, because I think this is a pertinent question to ask this morning, is how many of you have personally, in a one-on-one encounter, led somebody to Christ? I don't mean led them to church. I mean led them, prayed the sinner's prayer with somebody, led them to Christ. Would you just raise your hands really high? Now that is incredible. Wow. Well, I'm preaching to the choir, obviously. No, that's awesome, because I remember asking that question. Culture has changed a lot in 13 years, but I asked that question to 44 people, and either I was talking with Renee about that. Do you remember if there was two or three? Two or three out of 44 people had actually done that. Because what we used to do is just have to get them into church. We invite people to church, and it's the pastor's job to lead people to Christ. It's around the altar a call for people to be led to Christ. But that's so not what the Bible instructs us to do. And I'm so glad that that has changed around and that each one of us are called to be leading people to Jesus Christ, to be ambassadors for Christ, that know and have the understanding and the boldness to be able to step up and step out and lead somebody to Christ. That requires a degree of boldness. It's like, I remember the first time that praying for somebody that was going to Cottonwood to go do a rider. We were doing Celebrate Recovery, and it's like, he was sitting in a chair and we were praying over him. I said, have you ever asked Jesus into your life to be Lord and Savior? It's like, no. It's like, oh, well, I guess here we go. I remember having a little bit of panic, because that's just not something that until the last 13 years we had done very much of. Does this relate to anybody? It's like, yes, yes, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're even supposed to. And we're going to end up doing a class or two where we are not only encouraging, but teaching the steps and even practicing. Does that sound crazy that we would actually practice leading someone to Jesus? Doesn't sound crazy at first year entry. I'm not real sure. So I'm not going to tell you exactly when that class is, because I would love lots of you to come. Yeah, I think that's something that all of us need to be comfortable with, and where we don't have to feel like we're stepping out in such boldness and in unknown territory to be ready to lead somebody, to pray with them, to lead somebody to Christ. All right. So you're all with me. Everybody wants to have that opportunity. And when that opportunity arises, you want to be quick to respond. Then everybody say, yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, that was my amen there, but amen to your response. Would you turn with me to Matthew 5, 14 through 16? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, and it cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father in heaven. When Aunt Betty was just sharing, I was thinking, man, that's the perfect scripture right there. What somebody sees her, recognizes her, Miss Betty. She is a light, a beacon of light. And that's what all of us are called to be. When people see us, We want them to see the light of Christ in us and want what we have. For them to want what we have, we need to be showing them something special, though. Right? Amen. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. What does it mean to you that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? It is right here. We can reach out, grab it. We can reach out and touch it. The kingdom of heaven is here. It's available for each and every one of us. Right? Yes, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We can preach and we can share that. And I think each one of us need like the 3-minute, 2-minute, 3-minute, 4-minute, like an elevator testimony that we can share really quickly and that we're ready and able to pray for somebody very quickly to end up leading them to Jesus Christ. That's a calling that each of us have. And I want to, what I'm trying to do here is end up building a foundation for who we are, for what we carry, and what ability that we have been given, and the expectation that is put on us, because to whom much is given, much is required. So in order to be able to do and to accomplish, and Aunt Betty already covered some of this, let's turn to Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So we have received this crazy, amazing promise, and we're going to touch on that in John 16, but I want to read Acts 1:8 first. Behold, I send the promise of my Father. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's the one that I just read. How'd I do the second time? Was it even better? All right. We're going to try Acts 1:8 now. But you shall receive power. Everybody say with me, receive power. Kind of like we received communion, receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It's like, where is it supposed to go? Everywhere. What's our commission? Take it out. Get it there. I want to go to John 16, and you have all heard this, even from this pulpit and from me more than once, but there are some things that just need to be revisited. John 16, we're going to read 13 through 15. John 16, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into what? For he will not speak on his own. It's like, man, is that not how and who we're supposed to be? We're not speaking on our own. We're not sharing words of our thoughts and our wisdom. But when we are speaking led by the Spirit, we're speaking, we're allowing him to speak through us. But he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Whatever he hears from who? Whatever he hears from the Father and from the Son. He will glorify me, this is Jesus, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So Holy Spirit has come, you will be endued with power from on high, and what he will be speaking to you. Everybody say, speaking to me. So who is Holy Spirit speaking to? Us, you, me. All things that the Father has are mine. This is Jesus speaking. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So Jesus did what the Father spoke, what he saw the Father do, and everything the Father did, had, said, the complete inheritance was his. Jesus possessed everything of the Father, right? Yes. So everything that he had, his Holy Spirit has downloaded, Holy Spirit came, and it's him that communicates to you and me. Right. So we got a good foundation there. We all know that we need to be endued with power from on high when the Holy Spirit's come on us, but that he is going to be our comforter, our guide, going to be the one to lead us into all truth. So that means he's speaking and communicating to us on a very regular basis, right? Right? All right. That's where we get to that communication part. Hearing that voice. How many of you are completely comfortable and confident that you can discern his voice and that you hear it regularly with clarity? Six? Five? Six? Awesome. I want to talk a little bit about that. This caused me to do a little bit of research, and I ended up doing so much research that I have about three sermons together here. That's the three pages. So I hope everybody's good till about 1:30. What's funny? Okay. So we're taking this one, the right. Farther to the right. The proximity of power of proximity. Closer is better. Proximity. The nearness of time, space, or relationship. Proximity. You know, in communication, in the long, long, long time ago, the only communication that anybody and everybody had was face-to-face. Right? That was the first communication. Learning, we got to see each other, look at each other, and hear the words that came out of the mouth, watch the expressions that were taking place, and if somebody was very far away, that was pretty complicated. So I just think how incredibly powerful that it is that we be in the right proximity to be able to understand, to hear, and to see. Does this make sense yet? Not yet, kind of, yes, mostly. I was like, the power of proximity. It's like, okay, if Fallon would pay attention here, I would... it's like, you, okay. It's like you're looking down, you're playing with something. It's like you're getting your pen ready to make some notes. I can see that. But you can also, if you see my face... You can really discern what I'm trying to communicate because you're close enough not only to hear my voice but to see the expressions on my face, and so it's like, next. So the importance of proximity, that we find ourselves or get ourselves into the right place to be able to really hear, see, or experience what God has for us. You know, when people say, I used to hear from God, but I just don't hear his voice anymore. It's like, well, are you getting in a close enough place, right proximity, so you can actually hear and see? Or does he have to shout at you all the time? I think we get to a place and a point in our lives that he doesn't expect to have to shout anymore. It's like we need to have ourselves in position that we can catch the little, good job, or this, like, You know, in 1837, people wanted to expand the ability to communicate, to be able to communicate across the country. So Samuel Morse invented the telegraph in 1837. In 1860, the Pony Express was put into place so people could be able to communicate further and further across the country so their communication could be expanded. In 1877, the telephone, there was over 100 telephones where people could actually communicate by voice. No longer was it just the written letters, even if it came across the wire. So we didn't have to, everything didn't have to be in writing. You could actually hear a voice across the telephone. Could you imagine that, to be able to hear somebody's voice from 100 miles away? Pretty amazing, huh? 1927, television was invented, but it was silent. It was silent movies and silent television. So we got to see, but not hear. In 1931, the television with video and audio was invented, was created in Berlin. It actually was the first place that they were able to actually hear and see the communication coming across the tube. 1931. It's like, and so people have been trying to get this form of communication created that was more than be able to just read or just write something that had been written. Are you tracking with me?
Yeah.
So now the complication is trying to get back to face-to-face, because there is so much availability. You can talk to somebody on the other side of the world right now. You can be on your phone right now looking, streaming, doing stuff, rather than looking face-to-face and hearing face-to-face, because you're checked out. There's so much stimuli that's available to us now. It's so easy just to end up being distracted by all the communication that is available to us now. Oh, I had this turned so I could hear. Now I... There. So, did a little bit more research in our communication, because it's something that I find troubling that so much is done by text. You know, when you text or email, nobody has any idea. There's no voice inflection. There's no anything. So it's easy to misinterpret what you've read, because you can't see somebody's face. You don't know what they were thinking. You can't see in their eyes. Like, whoa. So I just did a little research, and you know that 93% of our communication, even when it's one-on-one, is nonverbal. 7% is spoken words, 93% nonverbal, 55% of that is facial expressions. Like, whoa, that's a surprise. So not being able actually to see somebody's face when we're trying to communicate with them, because it's just over the phone, you know, we don't really know for sure. We can hear voice and the voice. 38% is volume and voice tone. Like, you, I can remember my mother was not a shouter. She didn't yell unless it was dinner time, and she would step out the back door and, "Lynn, Jerry, and Kim, dinner time." And we would hurry home. The rest of the time, though, when my mother was disgusted, aggravated, or we were in really big trouble, it would be a, "You better get up here right now." She would speak through gritted teeth, you know? It's like, "Are you right?" You remember that, don't you? That was my mother's sister right there. Is my mother's sister right there. Most of the time, they still claim each other. It's like, it was really easy when you looked at the clenched teeth and the first lip. You better get, it's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. But so when I think, it's like Pastor Dina has asked me a handful of times, so how does God communicate to you? And it's like, oh my goodness. You know, there is an external voice that I know that I've heard two, maybe three times, which was required to really get my attention. It's like, oh, it's almost startling. I heard the voice of God. And the first time, very clearly, it was, woke me up. It's like, I'm looking for willing, not worthy, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which is what took me off to get off dead center and not be a bench warmer. I better get started doing something for God. It's like, okay, I got it. No longer can I wallow in unworthiness because that's not an issue. It's one of the biggest obstacles. I know when we did Celebrate Recovery, one of the biggest obstacles for people to get over was feelings of unworthiness. I can forgive, and I know God forgives, but I don't believe that I can be forgiven. It's like, you know, that is canceled out. So not true. We are all ready to be recipients and qualified to receive that free gift of salvation just through faith. I am worthy. I am qualified because He paid the price and paid the ransom for my salvation. So I was just like, okay, I want to read a couple more scriptures right now. Go back to, you know, to in order for us to be in a place and in a position to end up hearing that voice, whether it be an inner voice. I started telling you the first time that I heard was just like, oh, okay, I needed that. I needed to hear that voice to be, wake up, wake up, wake up. You're not to be a bench warmer, wake up. And from that point forward, it's been the majority of the time is like an inner voice. And sometimes it's a conversation that I realize I have initiated, but it's in my own head. You know what I'm talking about? Why we can be having this discussion with the Holy Spirit, that it's in our head because it's coming from within us. He lives in us, and He's speaking to us sometimes internally. It's a conversation that's happening right here. And when I was studying yesterday and last night, I did something completely different about doors and closing doors and serpents and. And I'm going to preach that soon, because I've done plenty of the research on that. And when I would look at one place, I would see or hear a particular passage of scripture and go to that. It's like, oh, that's why you have me here. I have those goofy conversations in my own office, like, oh, that's why. That makes sense now. That's why I would be back in the old. Thank you, Jesus. This is amazing. And then to the next place and like, oh, where I have conversations like that, I'm not hearing an audible voice, but there's a conversation going on. How many people actually mostly hear that way? Their communication is like, it seems like it's just in your head, and then you realize, this is not just me. This is Holy Spirit speaking directly to me, giving me downloads, showing me, bouncing me around in different places of the Bible, because He is the one that will lead you into all truth. One of the things that, as Aunt Betty said, that's so amazing about when you get in a group, like, you know, 30, 40 people or whatever that are 50, 20, depending on which class, the people that are meeting in the in the prayer room for VSSM, and you get amongst a group of like-minded believers, which is a safe place to begin to practice the things that you're learning. And it so much for me, when we first started and we were researching with Dale and Diane there and like going through curriculum and watching videos and stuff, it's like, oh my goodness, oh, whoa, this is incredible. Most of it was really just confirmation to things that already were happening, but it brought an explanation and a teaching to go along with what Holy Spirit was already doing. Because the thing, if, here's like a red flag, red alert. When you think that it is just you and Holy Spirit, and there's nobody that you're submitted to, whether it be a small group, a big group, a pastor, a priest, or whatever, you can easily end up led astray. Because it requires, I think that's why in Hebrews it says, forsake not the assemblance of the believers. And it even and Paul does a lot of teaching where he's referring to those who have been put in place, put over you, that you respect, that you honor, and that you submit through the Lord as long as there's confirmation in your spirit that's coming through them. This makes sense? If it doesn't, you're in the wrong place. If it does not resonate with your spirit, it's like, oh, no, that is errant. That's wrong stuff. Then you're in the wrong place. I don't say submit to that. But when there is someone that God has put in a position, in place, to be speaking, teaching, ministering, administering, that when he's positioned them, then we are to step under their authority. Does this make sense? One of the things that Aunt Betty, you know, she has spent years out ministering on her own, been to prisons, been to all kinds of places, but once she came, and I'm not trying to just blow the horn for Valley Church or something, but once she actually came here, and she's been a part of a prayer meeting every Wednesday morning, she's been a part of VSSM, she's 82, 83 years old when she started and came, her ministry has flourished, she just shares with me regularly, more than ever in the past is what's transpiring. It's more powerful, more productive, and she's 85. Oh, my goodness. But to be under the covering, a covering of prayer and the covering of the house of God, doing the ministry that way, it is productive because there is protection and covering. Okay, I want to turn to, it's time. First, wish I had about 20 more minutes besides the 15. One of the really big things, and I didn't give you this, so this might be a challenge for, let's hear it for Ryan in the sound, or in the, up at the side. That's why you weren't on the guitar. Matthew 18, 34. I just want to talk about one of the biggest distractions, actually to be able to clearly hear from the voice of God for his healing, for his transforming power, for just the leading and guiding is unforgiveness. And so if we can turn to Matthew, okay, so we're going to end up cruising down through, it'll be a few, wow, that's like at the very end, so I'm going to have to find this. If you can back up a little, Ryan. I wish I could tell you other than I keyed on Matthew 18:34. going to go. Well, so it's okay. I'm going to start with 25. Verse 25, there's a king who, a kingdom who started to settle his accounts, and there were people that owed him. There was one who owed him 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay, so his master commanded that he be sold with his wife, children, all that he had, and the payment be made. The servant therefore fell down. He couldn't make the payment. He couldn't take care of the debt that he owed. So the servant fell down before the master, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him and even forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him only 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, shook him a little bit, and said, "Pay me what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. I'll pay you all." But he would not. He went, threw him into prison till he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved. And they came and told the master all that had happened and what had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers. Everybody say torturers. Until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's a rather solemn one, isn't it? It's like, whoa, okay. If you have been forgiven, as God has forgiven each and every one of us that have asked forgiveness, and your brother trespasses against you and you do not forgive him, you will be turned over to the torturers. Now, what would the torturers be? I believe today that when we're turned over to the torturers, now it's not God that tortures us. He allows the enemy to end up having a hold on us because we have not followed his instructions and forgiven as we have been forgiven. Are you with me? So God doesn't do mean things, and he doesn't do bad things to people, but he allows the enemy, when we're not in alignment with his will and are not following his commands. So we can end up being turned over to the torturers, and I've seen this so close, even in my own family at one point. It's like where someone's health was completely trashed. I mean, where somebody could end up hearing my name and not want to be in the same room because they were so angry with me because of an offense that they had taken on that I didn't even do. You know, that can happen. When we take on someone else's offense, if we take on someone else's offense, we can become angry and even hold on to bitterness for something that they didn't really even do. And you know that bitterness that we hang on to, Hebrews talks about a root of bitterness, raise up, grow up, and defile many. It's taking on someone else's offense, is taking on their defilement, and by not forgiving, we can end up sick. Unforgiveness so affects your health. There was a young man that right there, Colleen will remember this well, that we prayed for, Casey Roberts, right there, and God wanted to heal him. I saw a vision, and in the vision, it was somebody taking a Coke cup with a lid on it, sticking it under the dispenser, and it was pouring out, but it hit the lid and just splashed all around instead of going in the cup. And sometimes God's favor and what he has for you is not receivable by you because you have a block. And that block can so often be unforgiveness in your life. It's like, and that, prayed for him, said, I believe God wants to, Pastor Matthew was right there with me. We were praying for him right there in front row, and we prayed for him and said, Casey, there's a block. I can see a block. And I even explained that. I said, is there somebody that you need to forgive? And he said, yes. I said, well, we can take care of this. I believe God wants to heal you. I said, so all you need to do is forgive that person that you see in your head. And he says, I can't. I said, what? What do you mean you can't? Of course you can. All you have to do, let's go through the... He said, no, I can't. It's like... So this took about 20 more minutes, maybe longer. I don't know. It took us a long time to end up working through that forgiveness because his mother had abandoned him, chose somebody else. And so he abandonment, a spirit of abandonment and unforgiveness towards his mother because she had chosen another guy and ran off and just left him. Once he ended up forgiving his mother, he had one arm that didn't work. He couldn't lift. And we got a video of him high-fiving me right there with that arm. After he forgave, it's like, oh, sometimes it is as simple, like 20, 30 minutes of tears and snot and all that to get to that point. But the forgiveness that needs to take place. I just tell you, if you don't hear clearly from God, then you need to examine your heart, and if there is somebody in your life that needs to be forgiven, it's like, man, that needs to be top of your list. You want to walk in the blessing and the fullness and be receiving all that he has, you can't hold unforgiveness in your heart. Okay, I wanted to read these last two scriptures. We'll go with 2 Chronicles 7:4. Did I give you that one? This is the one that if my people who are called by my name will... Yeah, that's what I said. Are you watching the facial expression? Knew that. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not my hand, not my deeds, seek my face. So they can see my expression, so they can feel my heart, so they can know who I am. So they're willing to serve me because they love me, because they've seen my face. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. It's like, well, our prayers are reaching heaven as we seek his face. He hears from heaven and then is willing to forgive their sin, our sin, and heal their land. That's a wonderful promise right there, clear back from the Old Testament. And the last thing that I want to do is read the Numbers blessing to you. Numbers 6, 24, 26. Let's see if I got this one right. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his, what?
Face.
Make his face. We're after his face, his heart, his face. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you through his grace in your life. The Lord lift up his countenance. What is his countenance? You see your countenance on your face, right? Lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Let's stand together. Can we get that all back up there? I'd just love to read that again together. Ready? We could say we could put us instead of you. What do you think of that? Or even me. Yeah, me. May the Lord bless me and keep me. How's that? You ready to do it that way? All right. Lord, bless me and keep me. Lord, make your face to shine upon me. Be gracious to me. Amen. 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 We have a prayer team. If you would come up here, if you have a need in your life, if you've never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, there is freedom, freedom. Today is the day of salvation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and the Spirit of the Lord is alive and well here today. My goodness. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you want to walk in freedom, I encourage you to come to the altar to receive that freedom and all that He has for you. If you need healing in your body, there's people up here that are ready to pray for you and will, I believe, God will touch you and you will be healed. Father, I just give you thanks and praise with a, as Aunt Betty said, unzipped with an open heart. I thank you and praise you with an open heart. And I say anything that you see in me or in your people in this congregation that needs to be changed, that needs to be confessed, that needs to be laid at your cross, at your feet, I just pray that you would expose that to them right now. Right now, and that we would just take care of business. If Holy Spirit is showing you something right now, I say, this is a wonderful time to take care of business. To get right, to get straight with Him. And again, if you need healing, if you just need a time of refreshing, or if you need to step out of bondage and into freedom, I just encourage you, come, come, come. Again, Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and I say that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, let it settle on each and every one to guard our hearts and guard our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.